You're listening to Stephanie and Fox, where we aim to educate, enlighten, and evolve your intimacy.
You can find us at evolveyourintimacy.com to learn more about counseling, self-study courses, intimacy, sex education, and the retreats that we provide.
This show contains discussions about relationships, intimacy, and sex, and is meant for those that are 18 years and older.
Now sit back, relax, listen up, and get ready to evolve your intimacy.
Hi, I'm Stephanie, and I take a deep breath to say it all. I am a LPC, licensed professional counselor. I'm a certified sex therapist, and I have almost, in September will be done, I'll have my PhD in clinical sexology.
Perfect. And I am Fox, and I'm a relationship intimacy and sex education coach. I am board certified. And I deal mostly with polyamory and non-monogamy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my specialty is alternative relationships, and that is my dissertation project as well. I'm writing a manual for clinicians who work with consensual non-monogamy couples and stuff like that. So, yeah.
So how tonight's going to work, I know that we have a chat board. If you want to ask your questions within the chat, you can. Please understand that everyone will see your profile name and your question. Mm-hmm. So if you want your question to be more private and have anonymity, go ahead and just send it in the messenger directly to us. We will absolutely not disclose anyone's name, reference anything about them, profile name, anything. We're just going to read the question, provide our answer, and then kind of go from there.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Everything we try to do everything we do is confidential.
Right.
It's best to practice that all the way around so no accidents happen and licenses don't get lost.
Correct. So you're going to hear me typing a lot because I'm answering people as we're going through this. People are trying to find the link. Some people haven't been on SDC before or gone to live cams or done anything like this before. But again, you can ask questions through the board. Mm-hmm. You can ask questions. Actually, you can ask questions in three spots. So here in the live stream, you can ask your question. Sending us a message, you can ask a question if you want, absolute privacy. Or you can go into the group itself. We have Evolve Your Intimacy group, and there's a chat in there as well. So I have all three open, and I will be answering all three. So,
well, I have some questions to start us off.
Yeah, perfect.
So we have, somebody has, I don't know, wrote in, I guess the best way to say it. Mm-hmm. Just full disclosure, I'm completely awkward at these things. And I get tongue-tied a lot. I'm just an awkward person, so.
That's not true.
I'm just awkward. Anyway, no. So the first question is, what's the biggest difference between dating others as a couple versus dating solo? Mm. And immediately, my first thing is scheduling. That, you know, not only do you have to make sure everybody likes each other, everybody's connected, everybody's has some sort of, what is the word I'm looking for? Some sort of spark. That's the word.
Okay.
Spark.
Like, huh? Vibe, spark.
See, there's that awkwardness.
Attraction.
Exactly. All of that. Because you're playing with four different people, four different people's emotions. You're playing with four different people's preferences, desires, all of that. And so the scheduling and trying to make it work is probably one of the hardest. When you're dating solo, that's just you and whoever you're dating. So those schedules kind of line up a little bit easier and you don't have to worry about that awkwardness of, you know, your partner not liking them and all of that fun stuff.
Yeah, I agree. I would add a little bit to that and you know, it also depends on your play style, what you're into. Mm-hmm. That really determines how you look at things. You know, some couples will tell you it's easier to date another couple than it is to date a single person. And then other couples would disagree with that. Some single people would tell you the same thing.
Yeah.
It's easier to date a couple versus maybe a throuple or, you know. I think it's all based off desire, temperament. And then I think it's, if you give everyone consideration for what they're looking for, their play style, what they're into, schedules, you know, all of that stuff. I think that really plays a factor into it.
Absolutely.
So I don't know that, you know, there are differences, obviously, with four people or two couples or let's say two throuples, which would be six people. Whew. You're looking at a bunch of different opinions, attitudes, dynamics, schedules. I mean, that gets very complicated, right?
Very. And lots of communication.
Yeah.
Because feelings will get hurt.
Absolutely. 100%.
So I know we have a question in the chat, but I'm gonna jump right over here. My computer's right here, by the way. That's why I keep looking.
Yes. So just to make mention to that, as we get the questions in, I'm gonna float them over to Stephanie. So we're gonna take them in order. So if we don't get to you right away, please understand we actually have about 17 questions that have already come in, and so we're gonna get to them as we can.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So what should you do if one person wants to play in a separate room? So this is a very common question that we get, and it's a very, it can be problematic for some if it's not handled correctly. What I love to start off with is to communicate, why do you want separate room play? Ask your partner, what is there something that they want to do that they don't want you to see? Is there something that you feel like you need outside of that? Negotiate your comfortable boundaries that make all parties involved comfortable with separate room play. So really, it's taking a look at yourself and saying, I need this because, and I would like this because, and then we're going to make it work within the boundaries that you have set. I'm just going to leave this down. This shirt's going to drive me crazy. So check in with your partner often when separate room play does occur, but I don't want you to jump right into separate room play. I want you to kind of build up to it. So maybe we have a hotel room, you know, we have one bed, and then we have like a little area, the seating area. So maybe you're playing with the cat on the couch and they're playing on the bed. So we're kind of creating that separation. Maybe one person, the door is open and one person's playing outside on another couch, and you know, you have your other person in the room in that separate room until you get comfortable with it. And then the doors can be closed and you can go and do whatever you feel like you need to do. But always start slow and reassure each other. Reconnect after separate room play and just continuously communicate. Did you like it? What went well? What didn't go well? What can we do different? If it doesn't work, it's okay. It's okay. Because not everything's going to work.
Yeah, I agree. So I've been in the lifestyle in many different dynamics for 24 years now, for about 24 years. Mm-hmm. I've been a single male. I've been coupled as a swinger. I've been in a throuple. So I would say that's a great start. Why do you want to be in separate rooms? It's not a challenge. Don't look at it as a challenge. Look at it as a communication piece. It's a simple, why would you mm-hmm. like to be in another room? I know sometimes the reasons I would like to be in another room is maybe I'm being distracted. I have a lot of compersion for Stephanie, which means I very much enjoy when she is receiving pleasure and she's and enjoying herself. There's a sparkle, there's a shine inside of her. And I very much am into that. So if I'm paying attention to that, I'm not paying attention to my play partner, or not the way I feel I should be. Because I have pressures on myself on how I should be, how I should perform with another play partner, especially depending on the dynamic or what it is they ask me for, right? So that would be the first thing. The second thing for me is absolutely communicate, check in with your partner, find out what's going on. And if you guys are kind of iffy about it, but you want to try it, I think that's a really great tool is start distancing yourselves. Maybe try, start with the same bed, then choose a room with two beds and try that. Then choose, two rooms that are adjacent to each other and open the door so you can still hear each other and everyone has the option to get up and walk into the room if they want to, right? And then kind of transition very slowly as you need to and as the comfortability builds or the trust builds or whatever it is that looks like.
Yeah. The main important thing though is have that open door for communication. And so if you don't like it, it's okay. And I know if I'm separate room playing and I'm not having a good time, I'm going to go into his room. I don't ask questions. I don't ask permission. I just go because that's what I want to do. And we have that dynamic already pre-negotiated.
Yeah. So that's one of our boundary, our boundary rules or agreements is, we may go into a situation with certain expectations and boundaries in a discussion, but that doesn't mean it has to stay that way the entire time. If either one of us is uncomfortable with anything or even just eager, because it's not always about uncomfortability, it's, man, that sounds like that's really fun in there. I want to go in there. Then we have permission to enter at any time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. So Another question we got is, how can we stay connected to each other as we introduce more people into our lives? And I'm going to pull from John Gottman. John Gottman is a relationship therapist or researcher who's got over 40 years of research, and he's got the Gottman Institute. And I love all things John Gottman. I also love that he's this fantastic researcher, and he's been married like 5 times. You know, he preaches it. He doesn't practice it. We're good.
I was going to say 5 times is a lot.
Yeah. Oh, well. But John Gottman, part of their thing is the rituals of connection. Discovering what kinds of rituals the two of you would like to introduce or continue in your relationship will help you in many ways. It helps you feel comfortable. It helps trust come more naturally. Turn on for each other. Building stronger bonds. But these rituals can be anything. Special date nights. If, you know, maybe there's a special date night that's just for you two, the other partner doesn't get to go, or we don't invite that. That's already on the calendar. That's ours. They can be anything. Maybe it's sitting down to dinner together. Maybe it's when you're done, how do you reconnect? What are the things that you do as a couple that makes it unique? Understanding what, or I guess creating that uniqueness is really what keeps your bond strong. And it, you don't think that, you know, someone else is getting what you're not getting. So when you discuss these rituals of connection in your relationship with your partner, make sure that you and your partner really have the time and energy to talk about it, because these conversations, if you don't have the mental capacity or the emotional space, don't have them. Just put a pin in it, write it down, and come back to it, because this kind of lifestyle, while it is for everybody, it isn't for everybody. And there's such a level of communication. And so it's a skill you learn. You can't just jump into this and think you're going to be okay, because that ends up very,
detrimental.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So I liked all the things you just said. I would add to that and say that taking a break from the lifestyle, it's okay. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you are leaving the lifestyle. And even if you decide to leave the lifestyle, so what, you know, I personally have coming in and out of the lifestyle because I've determined that that's part of my life. But I will tell you, I have a lot of friends that I love and care about, and they jump in and out as they need to. Mm-hmm. Sometimes taking a break, even if it's a year break or a 2 year break or a 3 year break or a 5 year break, right? Whatever that looks like for you to rebond with your partner, sort out what you need to, whatever that looks like. If one of you is not willing to do that, maybe go see a professional like one of us, go see a sexologist or someone that's, you know, does counseling and non-monogamy. The wonderful thing about alternative relationships in general is you absolutely have permission to design them any way you want to.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of social stigma out there, and people, you know, tend to feel, depending on where you were raised, your religion and a bunch of other factors, well, I have to do it this way and I have to do it that way. Well, who says that?
Well, those are faulty core beliefs. Mm-hmm. And once you identify a faulty core belief, that's up to you to change it. And how you change that is by questioning yourself. Why do I feel this way? Where is this stemming from? What do I need in order to change this feeling? Those types of questions. Is this something that I want to stick, this faulty core belief? Or is it something that I can throw out and start again?
Yeah, that's good.
Ladies, are you ready to take your intimacy to the next level? Head over to evolveyourintimacy.com to learn more about intimacy, relationships, and sex counseling.
And gentlemen, do you need a little bit more? Head over to our website to learn tips on how to communicate with that special someone and ignite that flame.
If you enjoy our content and guests and would like to help us grow, go to our website, evolveyourintimacy.com, to follow, like, subscribe, and comment on all of our social media accounts. Now, let's get back to the show.
All right, so let's go ahead and take a question from a messenger that we received.
I just point like y'all are watching. I don't know.
It's like, oh, let me point at the screen.
Okay. See, there's that awkwardness.
So the question was, how should I bring up wanting to get into the lifestyle to a partner? So I'm assuming that means your partner's not in the lifestyle. Maybe they're not aware of it. So I'm going to kind of generalize as best as I can based off that question. My answer is be direct. Okay. maybe write an email. If you're not good with your words, write in an email or text message. It gives you time to think about what you want to say, so you're not emotional and you don't shotgun some information out there or question out there. If you're not good with that, or you don't think that will go over well with presentation, do it in person and just be direct. That's one way to do it. Another way to do it, something I've done in the past, is feed the seed. That's what I like to call it. During sex or during an intimate moment, whatever that looks like, start asking questions, start fantasizing, ask your partner, you know, wouldn't it be great? So this is a technique I've used. Wouldn't it be great if you were sucking on another dick right now? Like, wouldn't that be hot?
And judge the response. Right. They're like, fuck no. Well, then obviously they're not into it.
Yeah.
Don't move the question forward.
That's a good
point. I mean, let's throw that out there.
But, you know, do things like that. Try and gauge it and bring it up slowly. Don't just come up to your partner and go, okay, well, I want to be non-monogamous, so what do you think? Because that is going to shock their system. They might not hear what you're really trying to say to them. What they may actually hear is, they don't love me, I'm not good enough, they want to be with other people and not me, oh my gosh, we're separating. Mm-hmm. And that's what they may hear. So think of very creative ways, very loving ways, and sincere ways to bring up the topic. Get them interested by feeding the seed. That's what I would say.
Yeah, I just graduated a couple that came to me, and the husband did not present it well to his wife, and she had a shock. It was against her core beliefs. Even though she was a bit intrigued, it was just completely against her core beliefs. And so she had a really hard time with that. And once we dug deep and she realized it wasn't about him not being satisfied with her, it was about other things, then she became more open to the idea. And now they're graduated and playing. Yay!
Nice.
Yep. So,
actually, I want to go ahead and let's grab a question up on the board.
Okay.
So this is a very important question. one that I would love to absolutely address up front. So the question is, let's talk about disease. How do we clear people to avoid catching anything? So I am a licensed paramedic. And so I have some medical background. I will tell you, there is no 100% way to prevent an STD or STI.
Other than sex.
Well, that's not true.
Abstaining.
Even abstinence doesn't do that, because if you use drugs, you know, there's other ways to catch an STI and STD is not sexually related. So the real answer is there is absolutely no 100% foolproof way. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you what Stephanie and I do. So the first thing, there are home tests that you can purchase. You can get them on Amazon. If you just go to Google and type in home STI STD test, you can purchase them. Now, some of them are cheap, some of them are not. Some of them have great reviews and work very well, some do not. You got to do your own homework.
Do your homework.
Yep. What I don't want to do is put out a product and advertise for a company because I don't want that to fall back on us. So do your research. That's the first thing. A lot of them are, hey, go pee on this, and in 5 minutes, it's going to give you some basic results. Now, it's not going to be able to tell you anything about HIV or AIDS or certain other STDs, and majority of them have a list of exactly what they can test for through urine.
Mm-hmm.
And so go ahead and look into that. The other thing is, get a quarterly check. Every 90 days, go get a STI, STD check, okay? The other thing is, there are now apps. There are apps out there specifically for STI, STDs, for people that like to have sex often. And they're HIPAA compliant. You take the test, you send it in, and it automatically, when the results are downloaded, whoever you've given permission to see those results gets to see everything right there, mm-hmm. right in front of them. So that's another option. Another thing that we do is after a resort, after a cruise, which we haven't been on yet. Mm-hmm. The only thing we haven't done yet.
An event. Lots of.
Right. If you're going to have a lot of sex, go get tested right afterwards. Right now, what does this have to do with everyone else? It doesn't. It has to do with you. You're protecting yourself. You're evaluating yourself. You know you're clean. I will tell you, Stephanie and I, we always use condoms. Condoms are not, that's not a foolproof way.
Mm-hmm.
The thought process used to be it was 90-some%. Now new research shows it's about 70% safety when you use a condom. Okay. So With that said, be direct with your play partner. If you absolutely don't want to catch anything, the best way to do that is to be direct and go, hey, we're not willing to play until I see an STI or STD test within a couple days.
One thing that we do every 90 days, but I don't get tested every 90 days. He doesn't get tested every 90 days. We flop. So I'll go 3 months. He'll go 3 months. So I'm actually testing every 6 months. He's actually testing every 6 months. But we're getting tested every 3 months. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess I said that wrong. But what we do, like I said, is after, like, let's say we go to Hedo. Hedo's a big resort that we love to go to. Before we go to Hedo and after we go to Hedo, we get tests. It doesn't matter if it's within our schedule. So that's just a really, I would say that's kind of the only way to do that, and be direct. And a lot of people don't like to do that. I will tell you, if you go to our profile, it's Stephanie Ann Fox, and it's A-N-D, spelled Ann, or spelled and. We have information on how we get tested. You know, so look for things like that and just be direct. That would be, I think, the only way to do something like that. And just understand that there is no 100% foolproof way not to catch anything.
Yeah, that's part of the risk of this lifestyle.
Right.
And you have to accept that when you come into this. Mm-hmm. I mean, you play hard. I mean, and also if you do get something, it's not the end of the world. Like, it's not, there are some diseases out there and infections that would be detrimental, but most of them aren't that bad. And it's okay. You're not going to be looked at as a dirty whore. I mean, unless you want to be looked at as a dirty whore, but that kind of thing. Okay.
So next question.
All right. How can we tell if we're swingers or polyamorous? Or what should we do if one of us wants to be polyamorous and the other one wants to be a swinger? So that's called a mixed orientation relationship. And those are hard to navigate, but it's not impossible. It's absolutely not impossible. But just know that there's going to be extra communication. And so polyamory stands out from other ethical non-monogamy dynamics because these individuals are drawn to the relationships that are emotionally involved. They're in love. The people in the poly relationships tend to view the relationships equally rather than assigning labels. Whereas swingers is a form of social sex. That singles and couples, they engage in sharing or swapping each other with their partners. And there's a degree of intimacy and sexual involvement, of course, but there are clear boundaries. And, you know, it's more, I guess, regimented. I don't know if that's the right word to say it.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think regimented.
I don't think that's not what I was trying to say, but it's more bounded within the boundaries. That's a fucking amazing thing I just said. That was awesome. Okay. That needs to be put down somewhere.
Someone write that down and put it on a t-shirt or something.
But swinging is a great way to enhance sexual energy, whereas polyamory is a great way to enhance sexual love, life, and relationships.
Yeah. I will tell you, so coming from a poly background, polyamory is really, it's an open love concept. Now, everyone does it differently. When I was poly, there was a pretty two standard ways to do poly, with or without. That was kind of the way. Now, there are so many different dynamics and so many different genres of what poly looks like. Some I agree with, some I don't. And that's just my personal concept, right? That's my ideology. That doesn't have to be yours. But the core of it and how it originated was really about open love. Mm-hmm. It's okay to love other people. It is okay to be in multiple relationships with other people. It's okay for my wife, who's bisexual, to be in love with our girlfriend, who ends up becoming our wife as well. You know, one thing about polyamory is a lot of people think that it is oriented around sex, and is absolutely not. You can have a man in a household with three women and he only has sex with one of them. Maybe he only has sex with two of them. Maybe he has sex with all three. You know, maybe he has sex with two women and then all three women have sex with each other. I mean, the sexual dynamic within polyamory has honestly nothing to do with polyamory itself or the basic ideology, the core ideology of what polyamory is supposed to be about. As far as swinging is concerned, I would just say you need to determine, do I want to have sex with people socially and formulate friendships? Because there are many different types of swingers. There's those that just want to go from bedpost to bedpost, and that's what they're into. Quick one-night stands. Mm-hmm. That's what turns them on. Don't knock anyone's yum, okay?
Don't yuck anyone's yum.
That's what it is. Don't yuck anyone's yum.
Come on.
Sorry. And then there's those, like Stephanie and I, when we swing, we enjoy the sex dynamic, but honestly, we want friendships. We want to be able to trust you. We want to be able to know who you are. Mm-hmm. I want you to come over the house, let our kids play. Our kids are a little older, but you understand the concept, right?
Our kids playing has a new meaning now.
Stop. So we're not going to get into that. So you need to just give that consideration. And if you want to go poly, give it additional consideration of, am I ready to allow my partner to love and not just love me? Because that is one of the most important questions. Because they are going to formulate an entire relationship just like yours with somebody else. And you're going to have to share everything. Are you ready for that?
But I'm going to throw it. I kind of disagree. Okay. If your dynamics don't include that, that's okay. If there is a hierarchy in your relationship and you're a primary relationship, that's okay. If you want everybody to be equal, that's okay too. But for the most part, whatever you want and you feel comfortable with, this is your relationship. You get to design it. No one's ever given you permission to design your relationship any way you want it. You were just told this is the way you're supposed to do it. But I, and what we are doing, is we're giving you permission. Here is a brand new template. What do you want your relationship to look like? Mm-hmm. And there's no right or wrong way.
Yep. All right, so next question.
Okay, I have a good one.
Let's grab this one first, and then we'll go. I just want to kind of share them across all the different areas. So the next question was, what do I do if I have feelings of jealousy throughout the experience?
You will get jealous. Mm-hmm. There's no stopping that. You will absolutely experience jealousy throughout this, and it's how you deal with it that makes a difference. So I have experienced jealousy a lot. I mean, there's been, if you listen to our podcast, I tell you stories where I'm in the bathroom crying over things. And, you know, while I'm getting a lot better with handling my big emotions, I'm a bit dramatic and I have really big emotions. That's just part of me. It still happens. So acknowledge it and do some reflective feelings. Now, your partner is not responsible for your jealousy. That is on you. They're not responsible for why you're jealous, but they are responsible for helping you work through it if we're going to stay in that loving relationship. But they are not responsible for those feelings. For example, when I say that, a couple years ago, we were at the drop zone, we skydive, and there was an older woman that was there.
Oh,
yeah.
I know.
Okay. There was an older woman that was there, and she was gorgeous, absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. Well, Fox said something, and he was like, yeah, you know, I don't know, he said something, what he usually says. He did a Foxism about how sexy she was or something.
I probably knocked you in.
No, you said something
did,
that. No.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then immediately, I started feeling jealousy. I started shutting down, and I was done. And so I had to take a step away, and I walked around the drop zone, excused myself, and I was asking, why am I so jealous of this woman? Why did that remark from him? Because he tells me that, or we talk about women all the time, but why was this specific woman in this specific instance the one that made me so jealous? And of course, what I figured out about myself is she was in great shape and she had 6-pack abs and just a banging ass body at like 56. And I'm not. I'm soft and pudgy and, you know.
You are not pudgy. Not at all.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, ma'am.
I'm soft.
I agree with soft. Pudgy, no. But anyway. Go ahead.
I don't know. Look at the pictures in the magazine. Tell me if you like them. I don't know. But I wasn't that. And so in my head, I started thinking, oh, shit, that's what he wants. I'm never going to be that. Fuck this. I just quit. And then I had to kind of, okay, so yes, this made me jealous. What am I going to do about it? So I made an agreement with myself. Okay, so next week, I'm going to work out 3 times. And that made, then I'm not going to get her body, but I'm going to make an effort and I'm going to work out and make dedicated time 3 times next week. And that made myself feel better, and my jealousy kind of subsided. It's not ever going to go away, but I was able to walk myself through that, and I didn't have a big emotional outburst.
Yeah. So I would tell you, you know, you're going to meet people out there say, I never get jealous. And I'm not going to call those people liars at all. I can tell you, I'm one of those people that rarely, rarely gets jealous. But jealousy still enters my brain. It happens. And exactly what Stephanie said, it all determines on how you handle it. Have that quick conversation with yourself. Is this is my thought realistic? Does it fit the scenario? Mm-hmm. You know, if it's realistic and if it's a scenario, maybe you need to have a conversation with your partner or your partners.
Absolutely. Right?
But if it doesn't, if you're sitting there going, no, actually, this is about me. This is something that I'm not okay with in myself. Okay, that's fair. It's still jealousy. But now you just determined where it came from, and now you can try and create an action plan to put together to mitigate that.
I want to say this before you move on. Mm-hmm. Emotion overrides logic every single time. That's why we're quick to anger. And usually when we don't identify our emotions, and it's either happy, mad, sad type thing, but we're quick to jump to some sort of emotion. And unless we think and we step back and we logically think about it, we don't react to that original emotion. And we logically think about it, that helps kind of subside a little of that jealousy too.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I need a t-shirt that says emotion overrides logic, because that's my life.
That's fair.
So the next question is, how do I support my partner when he is experiencing ED, which I like to call erectile disappointment, due to performance anxiety in a club or party setting? And I'm going to hand this one over to you in just a second. I'm just going to say a few things clinically.
Okay. Well, sorry. I was typing some. What was the question? One more time.
How do I support my partner when he is experiencing erectile disappointment due to performance anxiety in a nightclub or a club setting or a party setting?
Sure.
First, erectile dysfunction is very common. It's a common occurrence, especially in club and party settings, because there's that pressure that they're putting on themselves. I don't know, I'm not a man, but there's, you know, they're comparing themselves. So that's very common, and normalize that for them. But what I want to say is, you have other tools. Encourage your man. Hey, you know what? Or the penis owner, I should say that. Encourage the penis owner that to use other tools. You have a mouth, you have toys, you have fingers. Don't shame them. Just, hey, you know, if you see your partner struggling, kind of slide a toy over to them. And it's seamless. No shame, no guilt or any of that. It's just a seamless transition. You can also pull them to the side and ask, hey, is there anything going on? You know, have a quick conversation, maybe fluff them up a little bit. Maybe they need you first. But try to never make them feel guilty or embarrassed or anything negative about it, because it is so common.
Yeah. So as someone who has a penis,
I'm not a penis owner.
There's so many different reasons why you as a guy or your partner as a guy can get hard, period. I'm not going to use super technical terminology here, because I'm just going to get straight to the point. This is all about your confidence in yourself. There have been plenty of times where either I drank too much, or I was overstimulated, or, you know, I was so wrapped up in what Stephanie was doing because of that compersion that I was locked in with her and what was happening, but with my partner, just sexually, I wanted to only pay attention to my wife in the moment. So I just wasn't getting it up. And you kind of took the words out of my mouth, to be honest, because if you remain confident and just explain it to your partner or whoever's around, hey, I'm having a little issue right now. Either I drank too much, or, and just be honest about it, or it's very overstimulating, or, you know, you're super sexy and I think I'm in my own head. Maybe just step out of the room for a second, give yourself a breather, use the restroom, or take your play partner, go have a conversation, you know. Or again, as Stephanie said, you have a mouth, you have fingers, you have words. I mean,
toys.
Not words and toys, but not everybody. Some people are sapiosexual. They get off on intelligence and just actually connecting with others. And that's okay as well. Also, here's another thing. you don't always have to play just because your partner's playing. Mm-hmm. There's been plenty of times where I didn't want to play and Stephanie did, and I'm like, go play, have fun. That's okay. Now, if that's not within your dynamic and your boundaries, okay, then it's not, because that's not for everybody. But just understand that men are very similar to women. Women dry out, they get cramps, there's reasons why they don't want to have sex, et cetera, et cetera. Don't get locked into the performance of having an erection. There's many other ways you can perform. There's many other ways that you can be the life of the party, or, you know, stand out, or, you know, whatever it is that you're trying to achieve in that moment. And if it is an erection, you want to have sex, try and figure out, okay, what happened? Why and what happened? Maybe you need to grab your spouse for a second, let your spouse get you started.
And fluff them.
And then, yeah, kind of be a fluffer. That's, and then jump over to your play partner. And that's okay too. But I would absolutely encourage you, don't sit there and go, God,
don't beat yourself up.
I'm a piece of shit, or I'm a loser, or many other things I've heard before. We've even been in the club and had couples come up to us and say, hey, you guys, we used to be called something different, but you guys are Stephanie and Fox, right? Like, can we chat real quick? And we're like, yeah, sure. And we've had these conversations right during an event.
Ooh, so we have had, and one of the events that we were at, a gentleman couldn't get hard. It didn't bother him. And I don't know, there's this big round bed at this place that we were at, and he had all of these women up there, and he just jumped right in, and he didn't even let it bother him one time. And then we have some who can't get past that, and they can't get it out of their head. They think that they're failing. They think that they're, not living up to some sort of standard. There is no standard. The standard is, are you having fun? Are you enjoying your time together with this new friend, with your new group of friends? That's what matters. This lifestyle is about fun. It's about hedonistic behavior. And sometimes our tools don't work. That's okay, because we have lots of tools to kind of play with more.
Right. Absolutely. All right, let's jump over there.
Your question next.
Oh, okay.
No,
all right.
No, baby, this one.
Which one? We've already read that question.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. You let me handle this over here. Oh. You handle that over there.
All right.
You let me play with my thing, and you play with your thing.
I'll play with my thing.
All right, what's the next question?
Okay,
here we go.
Yeah.
All right. So this one's interesting. This is for empty nesters. So the question is, I'm creating new sexual ideas for us now that we were... All right, let me try and read this correctly.
Can you read it?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. I'm creating a new sexual idea, some new sexual ideas for us. Right. That we are young, empty nesters. Some things is keeping the house warm enough to lose clothes. We are completely naked, except sexual encounters in different rooms. I picked out a portable stripper pole to install it. But do you have any newer creative ideas to help us live up our lives now that we're empty nesters? And yeah, congratulations on being an empty nester. We're going to be there in a couple of years, and I'm not going to handle it well.
At all.
So I'm going to shut down completely. But get creative. We have a sex menu on our website, evolveyourintimacy.com. And that sex menu, you have three columns. You have the, I need this, I want to try this, and fuck no, pretty much. And so have your partners, you print them out, have each other, you fill them out, and come up with all kinds of ideas. Watch some different porn. Watch your friends at parties. See what they're doing. Ask around other people, but also don't be afraid to be creative. Use everything that you've ever wanted to use. Now's the time to do it, because number one, you don't have kids. You probably don't have to worry about getting pregnant, and you're sexy. So why not just play? Let your hedonistic desires go crazy.
Yeah. So I would say jump on Google, type in kink and fetishes, and start going down the list. You have no one in the house now, no one to judge you, no one to walk in on you, no one to hear you. And so you can do whatever you want to do. I would even say that having sex in different rooms can be fun, but eventually that wears out. move the furniture around, repaint the walls, or if that's too complicated, you're like, I don't want to pay for painting and all this nonsense, redecorate the room, make it look different, right? Maybe go outside in the backyard, you know, do a little adventure seeking. Mm-hmm. Not everything has to be done at the home. Maybe get out there onto a swinger website or just a friendship website, because mm-hmm. they have those now, and meet other people and get out and about and just show your love for each other in front of other people. Sometimes that alone can be an aphrodisiac.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the main thing is, don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. And if it doesn't work, it's okay. Laugh about it and move on. Oh, we tried that. Yep. Pulled my hip out. Great. We're not going to do that move again. Because let's face it, if you're an empty nester, you may be young, but we're still falling apart. And, you know, you can throw your back out wiping your butt sometimes. So it's okay. Laugh about it. Laugh about whatever you do and just continue to move on and have fun.
Absolutely.
Ladies, are you ready to take your intimacy to the next level? Head over to evolveyourintimacy.com to learn more about intimacy, relationships, and sex counseling.
And gentlemen, do you need a little bit more? Head over to our website to learn tips on how to communicate with that special someone and ignite that flame.
If you enjoy our content and guests and would like to help us grow, go to our website, evolveyourintimacy.com, to follow, like, subscribe, and comment on all of our social media accounts. Now, let's get back to the show.
Okay. So this one is more about sex and intimacy.
Okay.
It's titled Married and Bored Looking for a Siphon. So it says, you know, hello guys, I've been married for 16 years this month. I just heard your podcast. I'm now on SDC. First of all, thank you. Like I said, I'm married and there are many things that are missing in our relationship. One is that I like to masturbate and my wife does not. She says my masturbating is cheating even though we are considering an open relationship, hence SDC. But I would love to walk in on her while she masturbates, but she absolutely refuses. Second, I have begged her time and time again that maybe we should go and absolutely try swinging or a nude beach or do something to that effect. However, she is still somewhat resistant. What can I do?
I'm gonna let you start with that one because, yeah.
Me?
Yeah, because I'm gonna hear what you say and then I'm gonna chime in and...
So here's where I go with something like this. Swinging is for anyone. It's not for everyone. That's the very first response that I would give to this individual. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. If your wife is absolutely resistant to it,
you can't push it.
You can't push that, right? Being on SDC, that's a start. Okay. Obviously you have permission. Hopefully you're not doing this behind her back. Please don't be doing that. That's going to end bad. Again, try and feed the seed. If that's not working, maybe write her a detailed, you know, letter or email or text on why you're considering or why you're thinking about this. Because a lot of the times when we present something to somebody, their filters get involved. And filters are like, you know, our childhood, our life experiences.
The baggage.
Yeah, all the baggage. Our ideology that was given to us by our family or friends or someone that was very influential where we grew up. You know, people from California are very different than people from New York, are very different than people from Florida. You know, it's all regional based. Religion gets involved. All sorts of ideologies get involved. So those are all filters. Maybe your wife has a bunch of filters you're not aware of, and that's why she's immediately going, no, not interested. No thanks, absolutely not. Okay. If she continues to tell you no and you've tried different tips and tricks, I got to be honest, it's time to give that one up. You're going to put a lot of pressure on your relationship and it's going to be detrimental. And I don't recommend that. As far as masturbation.
Can I take that one?
Yes, thank
Thanks.
You. Because I masturbate. I don't care. I like
so,
it.
So I would like for this particular listener to ask some important questions. If your wife has this initial response and this, I don't know, this hatred of masturbation, ask is that, does that have something to do with her past? Is there any religious shame or religious guilt there? I know for me, I don't like to masturbate. It's something that I just don't like to do. But mine stems from, I had to take, like, I'm from Texas, East Texas, way in the Bible, Bible Belt. But so I had to take classes in our church. If they ever heard about us masturbating, we had to, you know, don't do that. So there's a lot of religious shame and a lot of guilt that I harbor about masturbation. And that may be your wife. And if that is something that she's harboring, talk to her about it. Have her seek counseling. There's no shame in it. I just don't do it now because I just don't want to. But it's not because I have that religious guilt anymore.
Okay. yeah, so masturbation is a personal choice. That's the other thing you got to understand. You're asking someone to perform a personal act on their body.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe ask your wife, does she have shame? Is she embarrassed? You know, you may be surprised on what the answer is and then go from there.
She might not know how to do it.
Right. That's another thing. She mm-hmm. may not know how to do it. Maybe she was never taught. Maybe she was never allowed. Maybe she's too embarrassed to tell you that. There are so many couples that have been married for 20, 30 years and there's so much they don't know about each other mm-hmm. because they weren't taught to communicate effectively or properly or sometimes at all.
About sex.
Yeah, it was like, God, you don't talk about sex. Uh-uh. You do it, it's for procreation. And if you do it for pleasure, you do it in your home behind locked door and you absolutely don't talk
don't
about
enjoy
any
it.
Part of it, right? I think that's kind of the best advice we can give to that. Because mm-hmm. it sounds like she's resistant and you need to be appreciative of and love your wife and respect her decision. But, you know, very carefully, you know, poke into why.
There's another thing that she, like I said, she may not know how. Many, and this blows my mind, but there are so many women who have never looked at their vulva. Never. They just wipe, but they never look at it. And they don't know what feels good because they were so shamed if they even thought about touching it. So that could be something else as well. I mean, there's so many different things, so many different aspects to this. This is a very layered problem, but it all starts with a conversation. And I would like to suggest a really great book that really helped me overcome my shame for masturbation. And I wrote an article about it. It's on our website. It was called Why I Don't Masturbate. But this book is called Shameless. And Shameless by Nadia Boltz Weber is amazing. I will tell you that it is religious based. However, if you get past the first chapter, it all starts to kind of come together. So I do give that warning. I suggested it to my atheist best friend and she called me and she goes, "What the hell do you have me reading?" I was like, "Just get past the first chapter." And she called me back. She reads a book a day. She called me back later and she was like, "I love it." And so if you can get through that first chapter, but that one really helped me explore my religious shame and my religious guilt. And then honestly, I kind of dropped all of the negativity around masturbation.
I had something to add and I lost it.
I saw it fly out your ears.
Yes, God. Yes, the blog about why she doesn't masturbate is on our website, but it's also here on sdc.com. If you just go to, you can either go to our personal page, which is Stephanie Ann Fox, and that's A-N-D, or you can go to our Evolve Your Intimacy, our professional page. You have to join the group, and within the group, there's a bunch of like sex facts, blogs, information, events, etc. There, and you can read it there as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this next one, I'm going to let him start and I'm going to finish it. How do I calm my wife's nerves before a foursome?
Why am I starting all these? So Stephanie gets nervous before everything. Mm-hmm. And I do mean everything. It doesn't matter what it is.
A pace.
She paces, she messes with cards.
I have fidgets. Cards. You'll see me, and what I'm doing down here, what you don't see is I play with my fingers. It's ADHD, it's nervousness, I have a lot of energy that I don't know what to do with. But anyway, I don't know where we're going with that, so I'll let
I
you
do.
Go.
Sometimes nerves is a good thing because it means they're taking it seriously, They're giving every possible thought to what's about to happen, why. That's not always a bad thing, okay? You can sometimes talk yourself into something, but you can also sometimes talk yourself out of something because of that. So I would say you need to communicate with her. Give her a hug, give her a kiss, maybe hold her, tell her, hey, I know you're nervous, it's okay, I love you. We can stop this at any time you want to. We don't even have to go in there if you don't want to, but can you tell me why you're nervous, all right? Another thing you can do is allow her to be in full control. Say, hey, if you decide to walk through that door and we do this together, you are in control. You are the director. I will do nothing until you give me permission or say so or say it's okay.
Good. Okay. also, talk with the other couple and be honest with them. They're in this too, and they are just as much of a player as you are. And so before the foursome occurs, sit down and have a conversation and air it out. Yeah, I'm really nervous about this. This is my first time. I don't know what I'm doing. What if I make some weird noise or anything? Everything you can think of is going through your head. That other couple hopefully will reassure you and maybe tell you, well, you know what, our first time this happened. And there's always that funny story that happens. If you're a swinger, you have a funny story and you also have a horrifying story, hands down. So sometimes those horrifying things happen and it's okay. Because sex is messy, sex is dirty, sex is funny. Our bodies are going to move and jiggle in ways that maybe we didn't want people to see them jiggling like that. Or, you know, there's going to be some sort of noise. It's okay. It is okay. Laugh about it and have fun. But breaking down those walls and talking to the other couple is so detrimental. Because if not, you already feel 10 times like embarrassed or nervous or whatever you're feeling. But, you know, that helps. And also allowing her, or not her, the resistant partner to be in control and making sure that the other couple knows that as well. Because more than likely, couples are really great about, yes, we see, you know, this is, let's let her be in control, him be in control. Let's kind of play around that. There are some awesome, awesome couples in the lifestyle that are just wonderful to be your first with. Find that. Don't jump into it. Don't, you know, have a foursome with just anybody. Make sure you pick the right couple that fits both of your needs, your feelings, your boundaries, all of that.
Yeah,
I got tongue-tied on that one.
So another thing is consider this too. They're probably thinking the same damn thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you what I do. I'm not even going to speak for Stephanie. Before we go on any type of play date, I mean, I take a shower. I groom myself. I look at myself in the mirror. She'll help groom me. Not everywhere, but I want to put my best foot forward, right? And then right before I walk in, I'll like check my breath. I mean, I look at everything. And I've been doing this for, like I said, 20 something, whatever plus years. I've been in almost every situation and dynamic. And even still now, I walk in with a little bit of nerves and, you know, how's this going to go? Is it going to go good? Is it going to be fun? I try not to have any expectations going in because I've learned a long time ago, don't ever do that. Just go in there and respect everyone and enjoy yourself and be a good person. And probably really damn good things are going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah.
A couple that you're sleeping with will either make or break it for you. So don't jump into the first person or the first couple that shows interest in you. It's okay to go on a date with them and then decide that you're not for us. Your relationship with your partner is the most important thing. So if both of you aren't secure and if both of you aren't really having a good time, don't do it. It's okay. Because the beauty of this is you don't have to do a damn thing you don't want to do. Mm. And that couple will understand that if they are a good quality couple in the lifestyle. There are some out there who will get mad and, you know, they'll say some really mean and nasty things, but those aren't the quality couples you want to be with. You didn't want to be with them anyway. If they're going to react that way and be that emotionally immature, then that was not the couple for you. And that's okay, because there is a wonderful couple waiting and just giving her that reassurance that, you know what, if you can stop this at any time, you're in control. if you have some bad vibes, and if she does stop it, or if she gets in there and it is something going on, you have to stop. I mean, it's you show her that respect and you say, okay. And we've been in a situation where I got overwhelmed and I've had to stop. And
Stephanie ended up in the bathroom crying.
I've done that. Okay, I've done that a few times, but but I've been overwhelmed and we've had to stop. And now when I get overwhelmed, I know it's okay for me to walk out. I mean, I'm cool with that now, but it wasn't in the beginning because I was thinking, oh, I have to perform. I have to, you know, be this great thing. And no, you don't. No, you don't. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. I can't stress that enough. It is okay. As long as you are leaving with your man that you came with, woman that you came with, your partner, that love, that core, you get to go home with them. You don't have to fuck anybody else if you don't want to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is a long question, but it's actually a very good question. So just bear with me. Okay. Says, good afternoon. Thank you for taking the time to answer all these questions. My wife is bisexual. And a couple years ago, we decided to get into the lifestyle and allow her to play with other women. Last year, she came to me and she said she felt it was unfair that she got to do all the playing, and we decided to become a full swap couple. The issue we are now facing is that we have been a full swap couple, and my wife only wants me to be sexual with the women that she finds attractive and that she can also play with. I find myself feeling that this is selfish on her part, and I really don't get to choose who I want to play with. I've wanted a couple of women, but she has absolutely told me no, either because they are not bisexual or because she is not attracted to them, therefore she doesn't want to play with them. What would you do with your partner, Fox? Okay, so that one's, I guess, kind of directed at me. And then do you allow him or her to play with other women that they might not want to? Okay, so we're both going to answer this, but I'm assuming you're asking me directly because I'm a guy. I will tell you this. I believe you guys need to have a further conversation because within the lifestyle, there is, it's not even in the lifestyle, in general, society likes to put stigmas on people. Mm-hmm. It likes to have these ideologies that are negative, and they're not positive for a relationship, especially if you're going to be in an alternative relationship, because the lifestyle is not just swingers. It's many different genres of alternative relationships. So whatever your dynamic is, whatever that looks like, you're in charge of your own body.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just because you're married or in a relationship or whatever you title things are, doesn't give someone else permission to control or have control over your body. Obviously, unless you're in a sub-dom type relationship and you're okay with that and you have a contract and you're doing it safely and with consent. But I don't personally believe anybody has permission to tell you what to do with your own body. With that said, this is something it sounds like you guys are doing together. So I would sit down with your wife and address the question directly and say, look, I don't really feel this is fair. I am not attracted to some of the people you want me to play with. So what you're telling me is the only way I can play is if you're attracted to the person. Now, that may result in you guys deciding that that's exactly what's going to happen. And that's okay if you give that consent.
Yes.
And you decide, okay, well, got it. This is what I'm going to do as a guy. I have been in that situation before, a long, long time ago myself, where she only wanted me to play with women that she wanted to play with. And that's exactly what I did. I said, okay, well, I'm not going to allow you to control who I'm attracted to or tell me what to do with my body. However, let's set a new rule. And the new rule is, if we're not both attracted to the female, then we're not going after that female or that couple, because that is what does it for you. Now that gets more complicated because now you have whatever couple you're with is going to have to be okay with that.
And also bisexual.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so I think that's the best way I would answer that question.
If you are in this lifestyle and you are not having uncomfortable conversations with your partner, then I don't know how you're surviving. I don't know how you are being successful at this. These uncomfortable conversations are ugly. They're you're going to cry. You're going to have snot coming down. They're ugly because they have to be ugly. you can watch. It's so many, I love this. There's so many times like couples will come in and, you know, I ask them, have you ever talked about this? Have you ever negotiated this? They're like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, okay, so you saw a baby come out of your wife, the most terrible thing that could, it's beautiful. Childbirth is beautiful, but it's painful. I've had that and I've done it, but you've watched that messy ugliness, but you can't have a conversation. These conversations have to be had. And if you don't know how to have the conversation with your partner, that's where we come in, because we can help you we can help you walk you through, not step you through. I guess step you through is walk you through. See that awkwardness again. We can help walk you through those uncomfortable conversations, but never take one for the team. If that is something that you don't want to do, that's fine. We have a very good couple friend who are just dear friends to us. We love them. We love their kids. They come over all the time. She is not bisexual. And when we first started with them, I got so upset because she just didn't want to play with me. And I was just like, bitch, please, I'm hot. And, you know, I love her to death and we're great friends, but she doesn't want to play with me. And I had to kind of get over my own self. I don't know, my rejection. I have rejection sensitivity. I had to get over that. And then we have a beautiful relationship with them now.
Yeah, and well, I wouldn't say you got upset either. You got your feelings hurt.
My rejection sensitivity, because mm-hmm. that is something that I have to deal with. And there's lots of people in this lifestyle who have that, and they don't understand what it is or what to do with it. But if you're overly sensitive to rejection, or you even perceived rejection, they're not really rejecting you, but you perceive it as rejection, that's rejection sensitivity, and that can really damage a relationship. So I encourage, if you do feel that way, to kind of do some research on it, find a local counselor that has that, find a coach that can help walk you through that process. But it is a very serious thing, and rejection sensitivity can make or break you in this lifestyle.
Right, absolutely. I want to add to that is, if you are going to look for a professional, make sure that they are certified with a non-monogamy.
Well, not certified, they're friendly, because not everybody's going to have that certification.
Or friendly, because the reason why we opened Evolve Your Intimacy be because we saw a huge disconnect between mental health and professionals, and then non-monogamy as a whole, alternative lifestyles, because a lot of their responses were, you need to go to church.
Yes.
Ma'am. You need to go to church. You need to stop doing what you're doing, because that's the problem. This is kind of the one that made Stephanie and I sit down and talk and say, we need to open a company. We had a couple come in and they went to another counselor, and they were having money issues, and they were arguing constantly about money. The topic of the lifestyle got brought up, because she asked, you know, how often do you have sex? What's that dynamic look like? And they were honest. And they felt their sex life was amazing and phenomenal. Well, they were told, your problem is the lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And that was a shock when they came into our office and we went, what?
We get that so many.
Right.
It's so common. People who don't understand it.
So just make sure, if you are going to find a coach, and this is, understand that we're professionals. We have boards that monitor us. We have legalities, etc. I'm not saying there's not other couples out there in the lifestyle that aren't phenomenal with knowledge and very helpful, because they are.
They're great.
However, just be careful, because a lot of their ideologies and their agenda surrounds their own personal beliefs. Yeah. Where if you come to a certified or licensed professional, that is based off of research and statistics and a number of other factors, if I can speak correctly. So just be careful with that. And I hate to say anything negative, but then there's those that just lie. And they lie and they claim a title and they don't know what they're doing, and they end up hurting a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so just be careful.
So I get asked a lot, and some of you may be like, what the fuck does that mean? What's my theoretical orientation? And that means what kind of counseling do I practice, right? I am an eclectic counselor. So what that means is, I want you to imagine that I have a Snap-on toolbox behind me, those huge Snap-on toolboxes. I have all kinds of tools. So you come to me and or us, I should say. I keep saying me, but okay. It's my Snap-on, not yours.
You're the more important one, anyway.
So when you come and you ask me a question, and it may not be something that I agree with or, you know, personally would do, but I'm never going to let you know that. I'm going to give you all the tools and all of the everything you need to be successful at that, because it's not about me, it's about you. And I have, you know, some, I should say this, there are many vanilla counselors out there who are, they have so many biases, they're called unchecked biases. And if you feel like you are with a counselor or a coach that has unchecked biases, that means that they're not healthy for you. That means that they're probably not the person or the right fit for you. And that's okay, because there are counselors out there who are. And you can ask the questions from the very beginning, because the very first session, you can ask them, what are your views on alternative relationships? And that will tell you immediately if they're the counselor for you, because they will respond in some sort of way and you get that feeling. We have clients all the time that are like, I am so glad that we found you because no one understands us. I'm like, yeah, well, I get that. And so that's the reason why we do what we do, because there's no right or wrong way to do this. And there's no right or wrong way to have a relationship. Just because society tells you to have it one way, fuck society. Do it your way. Mm-hmm. Am I allowed to cuss on here? I mean, I think I am.
Yes.
I hope I am, because I've dropped the F-bomb like 25 million times. Fuckity fuck, fuck, fuck. That's my favorite word.
So the next question that came in, and it's pretty generalized, but it just says, is there a good way to get involved into the community of BDSM? And the short answer is there is. Mm-hmm. Slow and safe is what I would say. Again, BDSM has so many different dynamics, genres, you know, just depending on what you're looking for, make sure you do thorough research. Make sure whoever you choose as a partner or partners, whatever that may look like for you, make sure you do your research on them. And what that looks like is a good partner within BDSM is going to thoroughly learn who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. You're going to create a contract if they're doing it, you know, safely in the right way. You are going to have the most in detail conversations. I mean, all the way, I will tell you, when I used to do sub dom, what I would do is I had a contract and I had a body chart. And that body chart was all based off of sensation, contact, play, and pain. And we would have a number scale. And even though we did the contract way ahead of time, before each session, I would sit down again, give them the contract and go, are you still comfortable with what we have originally agreed? Has anything changed? Has your mindset changed on anything? Where are you at today? Have you had a good day, a bad day? And what are you looking for out of today's session? If you don't have someone asking these questions and having very detailed conversations with you first, they are probably not a very good person for you within BDSM.
I think that's more of an advanced answer.
Well, okay. Anyway, but BDSM can go, it can be absolutely phenomenal, but it can go very bad, very wrong. And a lot of people don't know how to properly play within BDSM, and people end up getting abused, and that's not okay.
So another thing is start slow. I know he said that, but go to Munches. Go, there are, FetLife has sections on there that tells you where some get-togethers, meet and greets are. Also talk to the dungeon master or whoever's in charge and ask them their rules. How do they handle this? How do they handle that? Because every dungeon's different. Every play space is different. Can I bring this? Can I bring that? Whatever question you have is not stupid. And they get it all. And this is about your safety and your consent, being comfortable. And so you can ask the dungeon masters anything, but also do your homework and start slow.
So do you want to explain what a munch is and what a dungeon is?
Sure.
Okay.
So a munch is like a meet and greet. A munch is where you go and you meet a bunch of people who have similar interests as you, and you just get together. There's no play at that time. It's just everybody getting to know each other. You can start to find potential play partners through munches, or, you know, just get introduced into the community, into the environment also, because you may be new to this whole new town. And, you know, if you go to a new town, you just don't jump right into a dungeon expecting to be accepted even though you are accepted, but there's a lot of safety that goes into that. So a dungeon is a play space, and it's filled with all kinds of fun toys. There are dungeon masters, and they make sure that safety and consent is being upheld. Some of the apparatus toys, things that they have, they will have a...
tools.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff. But they'll have someone specifically for that PlayStation to make sure that if you and your partner don't know what you're doing, you can ask questions and everything is done safe. That is, when you have and you see those elements in a dungeon or a play space, then you know you're safe and that you're taken care of. But if you see that no one's there trying to make sure you're safe and trying to help you out, if they're not interested in what you're doing, you're probably not in the best place to start with.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. So a statement was made on the board. I guess this is not so much a question, but I kind of want to bring this up anyway. It says, it's a bummer when flaked on so many times. Mm. Agreed. It is a bummer. So here's some ways to mitigate that. First off, don't have any expectations. Your only expectation going into anything should be, I'm going to make some possible new friends and have some good conversation.
Have fun.
And that's it. Be confident in yourself as a couple and individually. You know, I would say Stephanie relies on me to play security, and I have no issue with doing that. That's kind of our agreement. If I catch wind of any type of negativity, or someone doesn't want to be there, or someone's forced to be there, or we're just not vibing well, or I think our ideologies don't match and they're not a safe person or couple or throuple for us, I'm very direct, and I will get up and I do it respectfully, but I will get up and pay our check and then go, you know, hey, guy or guys or gal or whatever, people. You know, people, thank you for allowing us to meet you. Thank you for taking the time to get to know us. It's just not a good fit. Our ideologies don't match, and we're going to go ahead and take off.
But not everybody is as blunt.
Agreed.
And so there's other ways to mitigate that if you're not like that. Because he'll just tell you what he thinks. And then I'm sitting there going, my little Southern heart is breaking. I'm like, oh, you're such an asshole, dick.
That's how rude. I just, you know, I don't like to waste anyone's time. I respect other people's time. So another thing that you can do, you know, is vet the people you're meeting. Honestly, vet them. Go on their profile. Read every little detail. Look at all the pictures. You know, see if they have a bunch of friends, see if they're involved with the community. You know, just because someone's aesthetically pleasing and looks good on paper doesn't mean they're good or bad or indifferent. Doesn't mean anything. Maybe you guys just don't vibe. Or here's another thought. Life. It gets in the fucking way.
Kids, man, you can't control that stuff.
People have kids, jobs, families, emergencies, all sorts of stuff. Then there's help. We've had to cancel before because I'm sitting there going, something's wrong with my stomach. This is going to be not going to work out well. Or maybe they got into an argument. And, you know, some couples, when they get into an argument with each other, they're not in the mood to play. Yeah. They're not interested in that. It's not about you all the time. You know, so don't think it's always about you, because sometimes really life does get in the way.
So someone just put on the board, it's hard to let people down. I am giving you permission right now. You are not responsible for anybody else's feelings. Mm-hmm. So if they get disappointed, then that's on them and they need to go check that with themselves. Why are they disappointed? That's for them to deal with. You aren't responsible for anybody else's feelings other than your own and sometimes your partner's if you're in one of those serious dynamics where, you know, kind of have to be. But even between us, I'm not responsible for his feelings. He's not responsible for mine. His actions can contribute to the way I feel. And if I choose, I mean, I can set a boundary based off of that. Okay, your actions made me feel this way. Here's my boundary. If you cross this boundary, then I have a choice to make. Do we continue or do we stop? And it's not about, you know, oh, you hurt my feelings. It's about that owning your own feelings, being able to verbalize what you actually are feeling and not giving a shit about what anybody else feels. Because remember, you're going home with your partner, your loved one, you're going home. And if you didn't have fun with them, hell, go home and have fun with each other. You're leaving with the person, hopefully, that, you know, you love more than anything or like, or tolerate. Hell, I don't know what your dynamics are, but that's your person. It doesn't matter. They doesn't care.
Mm-hmm. I would also say, you know, as long as you are showing the individuals respect, mm-hmm. and you know your intention is good with the letdown, oh well. I mean, that's, you know, and I know that sounds rude, but oh well.
Yeah, and quality over quantity, it's true. You may not, that couple that you thought you've been vibing, you've been talking for a month, finally got the schedules connected, and bam, we're going to meet. It's going to be so much fun. And you get there, and it's not vibing. Because people on, I guess, websites, and I always say on paper, but people in those messagings, there can be completely different when you meet them. Mm-hmm. I know that for me, I don't present well in chats because I'm honestly, it's not that I don't want to.
You're too damn busy.
I'm too damn busy right now. Mm-hmm. So he does all the talking. But, and so people think that I'm standoffish and they're like, oh, she's not going to really be into it. Because she's not cooperating she's not cooperating or she's not into the chat. That's not true at all. I'm busy. And so when I get there, I'm usually just this bubbly little thing that annoys everybody, but you're going to have a great time.
You don't know anyone. You attract everyone like a magnet. My wife has had an entire vanilla bar up and dancing, two different couples hanging out with us, everyone making out with other people going, wait, we're allowed to do this. And she's like, yes.
That happened one time.
My husband wants to touch your butt and kiss you. He thinks you're really attractive. Is that okay? And next thing I know, this girl's like, sure. And I'm like, oh, thanks.
But you're right. Quality over quantity. And don't care.
Yep. Okay. So two other questions that I see. So one question came in and it wants to know about anal sex. Basically, how do we do anal sex properly? So that's a really great question because there are tips, tricks, and techniques to use to where anal sex can be pleasurable, not as messy, but please understand this. You're entering a cavity that defecates. Shit is gonna fucking happen.
Shit happens.
No matter what you do. Now, that doesn't mean all the time, okay? So I know you went through like an entire course on anal sex. So I'm going to let you talk about all the stuff that you learned. And then if I think anything's missing, I'll add to it.
Well, it's about my course. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. I take courses about this shit. That's my college stuff. I go to college and study anal.
Yeah. Well, we also had a professional speaker on our podcast that was talking about pegging anal sex. And we got a lot of very good advice from her as well.
We did. But it's all about your comfort level and cleanliness, preparing before. So don't eat big, heavy meals. Don't eat a lot of fatty food a couple days before. Drink lots of water and then properly clean yourself. There are so many videos. My favorite videos are the gay men giving advice because they'll tell you how it is. And I love this one. He's like, okay, so we're going to douche. And then he has you wiggle, 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 wiggle. And it's like you feel all that shaking in your stomach, and he tells you to wiggle, and then you get on your hands and knees and wiggle, 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 and then you let that out and put more in, and then he shows you this wiggle. But what it's doing is it's cleaning the inside walls. So our anal cavities have so many little folds and walls and little things inside of them. Poop's gonna get stuck, and so what you have to do is, you know, it's okay. I mean, have a towel right there. Lots of lubrication. Your sphincter does not lubricate itself. Lots of lube and go slow. Because if you just ram that thing in there, I'm gonna turn around and punch you in the face because it hurts. me personally, there's people that doesn't.
I have anal sex with you now.
I'm just saying, that's just saying me. But if it's me and you do that, we're gonna have some issues. But go slow. Start with fingers, you know, kind of warm it up. Start stretching it out. It's up to your partner. It's just, there's a whole process to it. And it's fun and it's exciting and it feels really good. And if you've ever had an anal orgasm, I've had one. It was amazing. I wish we could do it again, but I don't think we can ever recreate that. That was like the top.
I'm not sure about that.
I
So another thing you have to consider is your diet plays into what happens with your body. So within a week, if you know you're going to have anal sex, and I'm not saying schedule it, but maybe schedule it, right?
I'm not saying schedule it.
Start giving some consideration to it. And eat a very clean and high fiber diet, because that allows things to flow a lot easier. And the easier you flow, the easier things can be extracted when you douche and do these other things. Another thing is pomegranate juice, cranberry juice. These things all help. So do a little bit of research, determine what you want to eat. Try and eat clean. I'm going to simplify that as best as I can. Coming from a CrossFit background, if you shop from the outside of the store, meaning the outside aisles and nothing on the inside, that is primarily clean. That means it's not boxed, it's not processed. So again, high fiber, eat clean.
I just want to say to those people, others, I love you, but still.
Yeah, others, you got to be careful. You can tear the wall, you can make them bleed, you can give... There can be some serious repercussions if you go and just, you know, decide to do whatever the hell you want to do and don't do research. You're not careful.
There's not lube. Yep. Lots of lube.
There are things out there like Analyze. It does work. I want to throw some caution out there as a medical professional. Okay. Pain is your friend. Mm-hmm. Not the military. Pain is your friend. It lets you know your life. Pain is your friend because it tells you something is wrong. Okay. And I don't mean the positive pain that's sexual, okay? But pain is your friend. So the first couple times that you try anal sex, don't use anything that's going to numb it, because you need to determine what is happening to your own body. So, and your partner needs to understand that too. After that, then jump into using that kind of stuff, okay? All right, so.
Can I?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Thanks. It's okay when we say start slow, start maybe with rimming. And if something does happen, shit happens, right? Prepare yourself. Maybe before, if you know you're going to do anal, maybe have a wet blanket down, or water blanket, a wet blanket, water blanket?
A wet blanket.
A wet blanket.
A waterproof blanket?
Yeah. maybe have one of those down. Always have a towel nearby. If it happens, don't shame each other. Just, you know, jump in the shower and keep, do what you got to do, but don't stop, you might have to stop, but don't not try it because you're afraid of it.
Yeah, and that was going to be my other thing, is you need to have that hard conversation as well, or that uncomfortable conversation. What do we do if shit comes out of your butthole? I'm just going to be, let me get more medical about it.
Woo!
What do we do if defecation occurs and it gets messy, okay? Have that conversation. Come up with a strategy, because I will tell you what, your partner is probably embarrassed and may never want to do it again, and it may have a very negative mental effect. So if you've had that conversation already and you follow through with that plan of action, it mitigates that. Mm-hmm. And then you can just laugh about it and go, well, that happened. Oh, well, you know, it's happened to us. We take a shower and I usually ask, well, do you want to continue that or not? It's all, you know, now it depends on you. So just give that consideration.
Ladies, are you ready to take your intimacy to the next level? Head over to evolveyourintimacy.com to learn more about intimacy, relationships, and sex counseling.
And gentlemen, do you need a little bit more? Head over to our website to learn tips on how to communicate with that special someone and ignite that flame.
If you enjoy our content and guests and would like to help us grow, go to our website, evolveyourintimacy.com, to follow, like, subscribe, and comment on all of our social media accounts. Now, let's get back to the show.
All right. So,
let's ask that last question that was just there.
Yes. I got to pull that back up.
I don't know why you took it off.
Let me control here. You control there. You play with your thingy, I play with mine.
I want to play with all the thingies.
All right, so the next question is, what about soft swap as an introduction? We have had great sex next to other couples. Okay, so what I'm assuming here is you guys have started out slow, you're having sex right next to other people, and now you want to start slowly touching other people. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to let you go ahead.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So usually... the women get it. They get it started. So you're having side-by-side play. maybe one woman reaches over and she's playing with the titties, you know.
I mean, if you're going to, you got to, you know.
Playing with the titties or, you know, maybe the women start kissing. It's let's let the, oh, okay, now I know what I was going to say. You can only go as fast as the slowest player in that room. So if one person is really hesitant, you can't push through that. You can only go at their speed. So let that slowest person lead. The person who has the most hesitation about it, let them lead. Ask them, you know, you can touch here, kind of talk about what's off limits and what's not off limits, but have that conversation. We can't say that enough. It's going to be uncomfortable, but you still need to have that conversation, because what you're doing is ensuring that everybody is safe. There is consent. And if somebody stops it, or if they're like, okay, I got to stop. That's okay too, because all you do is go get some more drinks, stop, and keep going with your partner, or just go back to your partner. The fun doesn't have to stop just because someone gets uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. That there's ways to mitigate that, unless it needs to stop. That came out wrong, because there may be times that they need to stop, but not necessarily every time. We can just refocus, shift some little things, and keep going.
Yep. Okay. So this will be our last question, unless other questions come in.
I'm sorry, Cinco de Mayo, and I want Mexican food. Y'all are great, and I'm
You're hungry?
I'm so hungry.
It's okay. You agree to do this?
No, I'm loving it. No.
So I'm going to let you answer this one as well, but I would like to start this one. So the question was, there seems to be a large stigma around single males. Mm. How am I successful as a single male? So first off, congratulations on being proactive on wanting to be a positive single male, because you're right. There are a lot of single guys out there that think they're in the lifestyle. Just because you jump on a website like SDC.com and you create a profile and you pay the amount of money to get into a club or an event, doesn't mean that you belong in the lifestyle. Okay. people in general, successful people are respectful. As a single guy, if you are going to contact a couple, contact both of the individuals. Make a proper introduction. A proper introduction doesn't look like this. Hey.
Dick pic.
Or hi. Another dick pic.
I know.
Or
I dick pics.
I have a 10-inch penis and I can satisfy your wife. Okay, 10 inches may tear her. I don't think either of us want that. But or maybe you're into that, right? Show some respect for both people. Yeah. I will tell you, the single guys that we've played with is because they have shown respect. Sex doesn't even come up. They don't even talk about how attractive Stephanie, what they think about Stephanie. It's, hey guys, this is who I am. This is a little bit about me. If you're interested at all, please let me know and get back to me. End story. They showed respect. They were detail oriented in their message. They were thorough, right? And they showed that they actually gave a shit. Mm-hmm. And those are the ones that I contact back and say, okay, well, let's start talking, brother. You know, like, who are you? What are you about? What are you looking for? What's your style of play? And be honest. Be direct and honest about what you're trying to get out of this. If you're just trying to fuck, say so. There are plenty of hot wives out there, and there are plenty of couples that love that dynamic. And then there's others that are not, okay?
Pick your people.
Yeah.
Pick your people.
I will tell you, as a single guy, for a while in the lifestyle, I didn't bring up sex or attraction until probably, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, 10 messages
really
later.
Really loud.
Oh, sorry. because I'm very, this topic really.
You're screaming at everybody.
Sorry, I didn't mean to scream
Damn.
At everybody. But that's how I did it. I introduced myself. I got to know both of them. You know, I really paid attention to the husbands. Hey, what are some things that other single men have done that have really pissed you off or concerned you? What are some things, you know, that you really want for your wife? Like, show that you give a shit. Show you're there to be a positive influence and a positive, I guess, mark on their life.
You're an experience.
Yeah.
They already have each other.
Yeah, she already has a penis in her life.
Are you gonna let me talk?
Sure.
Lord, help. I mean, he's going to get very bent out of shape about this topic.
Oh, boy.
We have seen every dick possible. I mean, just women have. Whether you've seen it online, you've seen it in lifestyle, you've seen it real life. Don't send a dick pic. Because regardless, I don't want to see your dick. Yeah. I'd rather just
Nobody
know
cares.
You. But also, remind yourself that you are a gift to that couple. You are an enhancement to their relationship. You do not own anything. You do not have any special privileges. You are a gift. And if you view yourself that way and you enter it into the conversation or to that dynamic in that form, you will be very successful. But those gentlemen who just think that they can throw some dick pics around and they'll get play. They will get, there's women out there that love that. But quality over quantity.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
So I want to add to that as well. Whoop.
This shirt. I'm just waiting for it to fall off.
I think that's what they're waiting for.
Lord, I'm fighting it.
So also have confidence in yourself. I will tell you, as a single guy, I had more success with being direct about my needs as well. It wasn't just about the couple's needs. It was also about my needs. So be honest and open and directive. This is what I'm looking for, and this is why. If you find a couple that's not willing to provide the same respect back to you, mm-hmm. they're not the couple for you. Move on and find another one. Even if you invested all that time, move on. It's not going to be a positive experience. Okay. That's all I got to say on that one.
Well, guys, we're going to do this once a month on, what is it, the first Thursday of every month?
Well, we didn't know that yet.
Oh, I don't know.
So what it looks like right now, as we're talking to SDC, is one Thursday a month at 7 p.m. from 7 to 8 or 8:30 is probably what it's looking like. Originally, we were going to do it for 2 hours, but I think that's just way too long. And
no one wants to hear us talk that long.
Yeah, no. And I don't want to talk that long.
Yeah.
So probably for about an hour and a half, and we will, this is our very first time doing it. So, you know, between us and SDC, we were trying to figure out all the dynamics, all the technicalities. Now we have it all down. And so now it's going to look like, you know, we're going to advertise. You guys are going to know well ahead of time that this is happening and we're doing this. And please bring any questions you want.
Yeah.
If it's related on, you know, relationship, intimacy, sex education, non-monogamy,
anything.
Kink fetish, sex acts, any of that type of stuff. Bring it on.
Yeah.
You know.
So hopefully we will get to meet some of you guys in Mexico. That's going to be awesome.
Yep.
We are going to be hosting 4 workshops in Mexico.
Sex experience.
Oh, sex. Mm-hmm. I was like, what the hell are you saying? I'm talking. I didn't name one of those that. But absolutely check. Don't hesitate if you're in Mexico with us in a few weeks, next week. Yay. Come up and say hi. Come visit us. We will come to our workshops. You're going to have a great time at our workshops and our play shops.
Why don't you tell them what our play shops are going to be?
What did we decide on? We decided on.
So we have our first workshop is Blind Lust.
Oh yeah. Blind Lust. And then we have.
Why don't you tell them what Blind Lust means?
We're going to blindfold you. I get excited.
I know.
We're going to blindfold you and you and your partner are going to explore each other's bodies blindfolded, and you're going to rediscover. It's like it uses sensate focus. It's a technique for building intimacy. So we'll have that, and you're going to see yourself through your partner's eyes. So that's really cool. And then the next one is pleasuring the vulva. Yay! So women, when you come to our play shops, you're going to get fingered. You're going to have an orgasm. It's going to be amazing. And you're also going to have a mirror, and you're going to learn how to pleasure yourself.
Yeah, so both you and your partner are going to learn together. And if you don't have a partner, that's okay.
No.
You're going to learn yourself. I don't know about that one. I think that's over-promising something.
I'm kidding.
And we are going to have other workshops as well. We have Lust Languages, and that's teaching people how to flirt. You know, how to talk to someone's lust and not just flirt overall, you know, how to engage.
How to speak that language.
Your play partner, you know, in an intelligent way and a lustful way. And then we're going to have the Modern Manhood Boot Camp. And the Modern Manhood Boot Camp is really for single males, teaching them how to be a successful single man.
Thank you for taking time out of your day to listen to our show. We are Stephanie and Fox with Evolve Your Intimacy. And remember, you're not in this alone, and we are here to help.
You can check us out at evolveyourintimacy.com. And if you subscribe to our newsletter, you will receive free resources monthly to help evolve your intimacy.
Have a good night.
Have a good one.